Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Orange Juice News and Notes from around the world of insoles. I'm your host today, Owen, and we have our producer, Mallory, on with us. Hey, Mallory.
Hello, happy to be back, even though I'm always technically here.
Yes, producer and co-host, as we've previously covered. But Memorial Day is in the books, everyone. I hope you had a fantastic and restful long weekend. And thank you so much to those who have served and, of course, those who pay the ultimate sacrifice in protecting our country by serving. So that is an awesome holiday for many reasons, but it kicks us off really into the summer months of the year. So we want to make sure here at Orange Insoles that everyone is well prepared for the summer months and just makes the most of the good weather and getting outside and all that good stuff. So, Mallory, what are we doing today as far as our topic goes? How is it kind of going to go?
We are going to look at some summer ins and outs, this or that, whatever you want to call it, and just dive into, a few different things, talk about, to be fair, this is the Orange Insoles podcast, so it'll be less wine or beer and a little more types of socks and sandals.
We're going to talk about your feet. So yeah. With that said, I'll kick it off. So first one, this or that, barefoot or sandals? Mallory?
So when I was a kid, the answer would have been barefoot, but sandals are definitely better. Just having something to protect you against the heat on sidewalks, blacktops, the amount of times I've burned myself that way, sharp objects. I will say though, when I was in Vegas a few years ago, I was walking in Birkenstocks in the dark and I kicked a piece of glass and cut my toe wide open. I wrapped it up with gauze and went to Caesar's nightclub anyway, and I was just profusely bleeding the whole night. So, maybe if you're in a dirtier area, closed-toed is probably
absolutely
the best. But in this case, sandals over bare feet, just to make sure we're protecting our feet. Although sometimes it is fun to be in the grass a bit with your bare feet.
Bare feet is just so appealing for me. I'm also just transparently lazy about putting on my shoes. But yeah, I noticed that my feet literally get so dirty. Even when I walk like on what I think is like clean grass or whatever it is, I come inside, I look at my feet, I'm like, that's pretty disgusting if I'm being honest. So just throwing something on more times than not usually is a good one.
Definitely. All right, on the topic of sandals, flip-flops or Birkenstocks?
Great question. Flip-flops are always going to have a special place in my heart just because I've always worn them from a little kid moving on up. But ever since I started working at Playmakers, Birkenstocks were definitely the go-to. If you are going to be walking any sort of distance or just on your feet for any sort of time, Birkenstocks have built-in arch support and actually a cork footbed. So your feet start to slowly mold to the footbed over time. So it's about as premium as you can get for foot support. And it's in what is now a fashionable sandal. Last point I'll throw out on the Birkenstocks, and this is a huge plug for them. You're welcome, Birkenstocks, is they have new EVA foam Birkenstocks, where I refer to them as like all weather Birkenstocks. You can actually wear them right into the water, although they're not very secure on your foot. I've definitely had issues with them like falling off in the water, but you take them right out. They dry right off. They're pretty durable for the price and all that. So I recommend Birkenstocks. That's me.
Yeah, I agree. I just get a pair and run them into the ground. I've literally worn a pair where you could see the cork on the bottom. I wore them down so much, but I love them. I know flip-flops can be tempting. I remember going to the mall growing up and at like Old Navy and like Charlotte and weird like places, they had like the $5 flip-flop wall. But though you would go through like five pairs in a summer and it's like, is it worth it? And they're not like helping you at all. So I feel like Birks are definitely worth the investment.
Yeah, or the strap bus or whatever it is. So, next one, kind of sticking with the outdoor theme, barefoot or water shoes at the beach. So now we are on a nice summer vacation at the beach. Are we going to go in the water barefoot or with our water shoes?
I mean, most of us, let's be honest, are going. honestly, if you do have water shoes, especially depending on what kind of water you're getting into, I've been in some of those like stony lakes where it is painful to even get into the water. Water shoes are actually really nice. You know, compared to other shoes, they're designed to dry fast and support your foot. So if you can, I think it's really great, especially if you do stuff like kayaking or water, or what's it called? Paddleboarding.
Paddleboarding.
Yeah, they're great to have for activities, especially. I'm like, if you're going to just run into the water and you're like suntanning, whatever, but I think they're a great option for, you know, more beach activities.
That's what I was going to say. Like, if you're on a maybe a first date, and you guys are just like hanging out at the beach, maybe don't bring your water shoes. But if you guys are like going kayaking and you know that you're going to like do an extensive amount of swimming and exploring and that sort of thing, it could actually maybe be a nice gift to give your date some little water shoes, and then you guys could go and explore or whatever. But I get it. Honestly, they're not the most fashionable. And if you're just doing a quick dip in and out, it, you know, bare feet's fine.
All right. On shoes, minimalist shoes or cushion trainers?
Yeah. So this one, I mean, I'll firmly say it just depends. So people kind of hear about minimalist shoes and they're like, hey, I've heard great things about them. They're, you know, comfortable on your feet. It feels like you're not wearing shoes. And you know, that all of that is true. But especially the last part where it feels like you're not wearing shoes. So minimalist shoes are designed for, like strengthening your feet opposed to just, you know, feeling good and being lightweight.
What's an example? Like five fingers?
Yeah. So like people will see, five fingers, which is a good example, where they literally look like people will call them like toe shoes. They're literally the shape of a foot with individual toes in them, and you can slip your feet in. Also, I know like Merrell has a lot of them, or shoes that have like Vibram outsoles, or really shoes that are just very thin in profile in general would be considered more of like a minimalist shoe. You can find some that are more, I guess, tailored to like outdoor sports and adventure and that sort of thing compared to others, but there's kind of a variety of them.
I know I'm on the cushioned wide toe box Hoka opposite end of that.
The cushioned trainers really are more practical. You know, now you'll see people all the time wearing Hokas or tennis shoes or whatever it is. For this, I'm thinking more of like picture you're going to go out on like an extended walk and you're like, hey, let's walk downtown and maybe do some shopping or whatever. And then we can hit the trail and check out the sunset and go home. Just, so, you know, like those outdoor summer activities, the cushion trainers are a good option. And also, I think they're definitely more generally accepted as like a fashionable thing, or just not as questioned when, you know, you're rocking your Hokas at a restaurant, for example.
Yeah, I'm so happy New Balance is in style so I can wear my walkers.
100%.
Yeah, very old people shoes. Well, older people. That's my dad, Tom, who says that. When I went into Playmakers and would buy my walkers, he would take pictures and send them to staff and be like, haha, look at what she's buying.
Listen, old people shoes, you can call it that, or you can call them functional. Old people also are wise, so not to throw shade. Age is but a number. So, true. Pivoting off of like footwear, though, one thing you want to talk about is socks and how that choice can definitely positively or negatively impact your activity. So, First one is cotton socks or synthetic socks, Mallory?
I will let you talk more about the technology and things in synthetic socks. But I will say I have a few pair of like scrunch cute cotton socks. Like they're just trendy that I've worn. And they have like, especially when I've gone running and things, like given me blisters and just then like wore holes in them very easily. Compared to like my nicer running socks, like what do I wear? Balegas.
Yeah, like a Balega. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there. So cotton socks, they can cause blisters a lot more easily, especially when your feet get warm in the summertime and are sweating. And also they're usually not as durable. So for synthetic socks, I guess maybe a better way to put that would be like moisture wicking socks. So that includes like your usual like spandex material, that sort of thing, or something if you grab it and can stretch it. That sort of material, but also wool, which I know we've talked about in the past. Merino wool specifically has properties in which it actually airs out in the summertime and allows your foot to cool off. But the moisture wicking socks, really the key is as your foot starts to sweat, it pulls the sweat away from your foot into the outside of the sock, ultimately keeping your foot dry. When your feet get wet or they have that moisture, that's one of the most common factors in blistering. And everyone's had that experience where they blister for one reason or another, whether that's, you know, on your ankles or even just on your toes or feet.
Yeah, and I feel like it's not something you usually think about. You usually blame the shoe or like, oh, I just walked too much that day. But it's interesting to think about how your socks can definitely affect that.
That just made me think of something, Mallory, is when I was working at Playmakers, the shoe store, as we just kind of call it generally, folks would come in. They're like, hey, I don't like these shoes. I put them on and like my feet just feel like really hot and they start to kind of like burn and they just don't feel good in them. I don't think they fit right. A lot of the times we ask them what kind of socks they're wearing and they'll just say, you know, I don't know, just like normal cotton socks. And it's a disservice to just take the shoes back and try to get another pair when the reality is it probably is the socks that's causing those sensations.
I know another thing that can kind of affect blisters is ankle socks versus no-show socks.
Great point. So no-show socks are absolutely more of like a fashionable thing at this point, especially with like your Sperry's or Tom's footwear or just like slip-on stuff. And there are a few select ones that definitely help prevent blisters because they're, you know, either moisture wicking or have this specific fit, but generally no-show socks just have like a very I guess generic shape, like almost just like an oval shape that you kind of throw over your foot, and it's almost like those footies you put on at a shoe store, and they don't fit right and they're not giving you the right protection on your feet. So it could again be a good thing to wear in certain scenarios, or if you're just like going out to dinner or, you know, whatever it is, that would be fine. But the ankle sock is really just going to provide that much more protection.
Yeah. And I got a pair of Doc Martens recently. And like, if I wore any kind of no-show sock, my feet would be wrecked. I have to wear like higher ankle to like mid-calf socks to make sure I don't get blisters. And bonus, when I've worn my cotton ones, still have gotten blisters. So I've switched to wearing smart wool with them. And it's just been way better.
Yeah, so some good no-show socks that the store Playmakers has gotten good feedback on. The smart wool no-show socks. And then I actually have the Features, F-E-E-T, Features socks. And those are awesome. They have like a little tab in the back that basically grips your heel, but they're super lightweight. So those are a few good options if you are looking for them. And then here's kind of another thing, Mal. I'll put you on the spot. So would you wear socks with sandals?
Yes, I always have. I always will. especially now that I live in a city, I think it's really, this is a personal opinion, obviously, I think it's gross to have your bare feet out in the city. It's just so gross.
I mean, you told the story earlier about what happened in Vegas, and I know usually it stays in Vegas, but you brought it to the podcast, and that was pretty bad on your feet, so I get it with the socks.
Yeah, well, I actually ended up just switching to Birkenstock Boston clogs, so to cover my toes. But I, like, in high school, I always wore my Birkenstocks in the fall and winter with socks because I wasn't walking anywhere. I, you know, drove everywhere. But yeah, definitely, I don't mind it. I know people have their opinions, but I'm a fan. Where do you stand on it?
It's very polarizing. I've definitely done it before, more so just from a convenience standpoint, where like I'm just wearing my socks or whatever. I'm like, all right, I'm going to run to the gas station to get, you know, a Gatorade. Like, I'll throw on my flip-flops. What I will point out, though, is I am not transparently a fashion-forward person, so I'd be curious to, if we got the right person out here, what they would be saying about socks with sandals, because I'm sure we would get roasted.
Well, I don't really know what, like, the criticism is besides, like, it used to be, like, a dad. Like, it was seen as, like, a dad thing to do, to wear, like, socks with sandals, I guess. But, like,
I think I the criticism is, like, and now this is just an off-topic debate, you know, sandals are meant to be worn without socks, right? Like, what's the point of a sandal?
But fashion is about invention and creativity, so I see it as an that's my argument for fashion.
Oh my gosh, that reminds me of like the debate, I don't know if you've seen it, but like, is a hot dog a sandwich?
It is. I listened to a podcast called Is a Hot Dog a Sandwich, and it's all about debate podcast. But yeah,
okay, back on track. That one really intrigues me.
Yeah. Well, listen to the podcast. You can get some good arguments. So again, we're going into summer. So beach walk or trail hike?
So beach walk is 100% going to be more my vibe. However, the reality is you're walking on a really uneven plane. A lot of times it's sloped down quite a bit. And if you're not prepared to walk like any sort of distance, give it like 5-10 minutes and your whole body's like really going to be feeling that. If you're like me, some people are probably more in shape, then you go longer and be totally fine. So trail hike might be a power move, just in the sense that you're getting like a nice trail that's obviously designed to be walked on. Not to mention you could choose decent footwear, all that good stuff, wear insoles, wink, wink. So that may be, I guess, just a less intensive walk. You know, beach walk, everyone kind of thinks like, oh, it's a nice stroll on the beach. But let's be real, it can be tough.
Yeah, I need the shade. Before I
if that's fair.
Before I moved to Chicago, I came to visit with some friends, and we impromptu decided to walk from Lincoln Park to Navy Pier. And if people don't know, like, that is several miles on the lakefront path, like no shade, nothing, just pure sun. But it was one of those like not that hot, like kind of cloudy days that tricks you. So I didn't feel like I was burning, and I was fried, like absolutely annihilated. So I wore sunscreen too. I actually did. So I need some shade still, no matter what.
So Mallory's going to take shady trail hike over beach walk.
Yeah. Okay. It's cooler. Oh, I love a nice like forest hike when it's like 80 degrees out, because it's like 70 in there and it's nice.
I tend to agree. Okay. Jogging in the heat or like midday, or doing more like early morning or evening walks? Or I guess whatever your activity is.
Early morning, evening. Well, when I'll be running this summer, it'll definitely be more like early morning. No on the heat. Obviously, there's less strain and less chance of overheating and becoming dehydrated and all of the negative things. Obviously, if you don't have a choice and you need to, get out there and do your thing, but just make sure you're safe about it. But yeah, definitely early morning or evening if possible.
Yeah, you know, if there's those like 90 degree plus days, that's just a random threshold I threw out. It seems like it gets really tough for, you know, extended workouts in the really just the heat. But one thing to keep in mind is if you're training like for an event or something like that, it may be during the day in the heat. So at least doing a little bit of that during the midday sort of time frame, or even just whenever your race is, could be good just to experience it.
That's a good point. I think Michael talked about that on our endurance training podcast. Check it out.
Oh, you're so right. I don't want to give away too much, but the weather was not exactly what he expected. We'll just say that. Next one. Long outdoor day or multiple short activity bursts. So what I think about is like, are you going to pack a cooler and go to the beach or hit the trail all day? Or are you going to maybe do one thing, then another? Maybe you go on a beach walk in the morning, do the trail in the afternoon, back to the beach for the sunset, something like that. What do you think, Mel?
I'm a short burst person. We used to go on a vacation every year to Lake Michigan, and Marsha would be out on the beach from like 9 a.m. till sunset pretty much. I could never, I had to keep like doing activities, we would go to the sand dunes on a hike, go get ice cream, go back to the house, go into town. I need those little short activity bursts. I can't do a full like outdoor day. It's way too exhausting for me. Just being in the sun that long is so exhausting.
I definitely agree. But like you said, it's funny that Marsha's not on this one because she's firmly on the other side. She'd be like, are you kidding me? You need to spend every second possible in the sun while we have it. So if you are doing that, really, I guess, make sure you hydrate, bring sunscreen, make sure you have sources of shade. Bring proper food and nutrition. We don't need you on an empty stomach, getting ready to pass out there, that sort of thing. So I think the bottom line is if you are going to go on have a long outdoor day, just make sure you properly prepare.
Definitely. All right, next one. And check out our Instagram to see the lawn mowing king, Owen, yard work or gardening this summer?
For me, it's yard work just because I have to, one, but two, with gardening, I'm just like not careful enough, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like I would just either overwater something or like be trying to do one thing with one something and then take a step back and like step on a plant, or like I would just, it's just not for me. So I would go more yard work, and it is a nice little workout.
Well, I don't have a yard, so I'm gardening. I bought a little planter for my mini porch. It's like literally 2 feet. And I have a little herb garden. I actually haven't planted it yet. I've been taking them in and out because it's been so cold still. It'll be like 70 for like 2 days and now then back down to like 50. So I will be gardening soon.
I know we talked about this before. I don't think on the podcast, but we actually have, it's like a one pot like herb garden, and it has like basil, it has chives in there, like cilantro, it just has like lettuce. I'm sure there's a bunch of other stuff that I haven't even really realized, but it's actually just growing super well, and it's like really cool to just be able to reach in and like pretty much grab whatever you want, and it's just all like fresh and actually super well grown.
Yeah, it's nice. I've been making burrito bowls this week, and I have a cilantro plant, and I've just been ripping off some and throwing it on top. It's so good.
Makes a big difference.
Definitely.
Okay. So let's say you do your outdoor activity of choice. Maybe it was a little intensive. Now you're looking for some recovery and comfort. Mallory, are you going foot soak or ice bath?
Again, if you've been listening to the podcast lately, you know I'm team foot soak. I don't know how the people do ice baths, period. Like, even just my feet would be horrible. I don't like that shock. I know there's benefits to it, but like, warm foot soak, let me relax.
Yeah, you know, I've seen that, and I'm not prepared to speak on the benefits of an ice bath, or even just like people soaking their face in cold water is now a thing, I guess, which
I don't really know. It helps minimize your pores and like close them. It's good, but then there's benefits to steaming your face. It's all in your skincare routine. You should do cold at the end to close your pores.
Okay. Anyway, I'm team foot soak. This is Orange and Souls podcast. We're team foot soak. So
foot soak. All right. I definitely know my answer to this next one, but are you refreshments or electrolyte mix?
So this is a loaded question. Refreshments being like soda, maybe beer, wine seltzers, lemonade, sugar iced tea, that sort of thing. I absolutely love every single one of those things I listed. They all have a special place in my heart, but the electrolyte mix really just puts you ahead. I feel like I feel so much better when I stick to water, and I actually have a daily electrolyte mix that I drink now, which really just helps me generally stay hydrated, but a lot of benefits there.
I love electrolytes. And then I like specifically my favorite flavor in every brand is the lemon lime. So if I'm craving that kind of like lemonade type thing, it already feels like a treat to me. So I am a big fan. Element is a good brand, Liquid IV. And then I now just buy Noon because it's cheapest one that I can find. But
you know what we're drinking right now? It's a brand called Moon Juice. And it's actually the brand that our magnesium is in. But if you're wondering what all this is, go back to the previous episode and you can check it all out in detail. But the electrolyte mix, it's like a watermelon flavor. And I just like it because it's like super light and super clean. Like some of them start to almost taste like Splenda, which like, you know, you get that like lemonade feel. But it's just so light and refreshing to me that it's just perfect.
Sounds good.
Okay. So now you're firing up the grill. Brats and hot dogs or chicken?
That one's tough. It depends what mood I'm in and what sides we have. I mean, I like a hot dog sometimes, especially at Wrigley Field, you know, at a baseball game. But I don't think that could be an everyday craving for me where I could eat chicken like every single day. And there's so much more I can do with it. So kind of both. Yeah. Or chicken all the time. Hot dogs, I feel like they're more fun sometimes. And like at like a barbecue with friends or at a baseball game.
So we did a nutrition podcast and kind of our whole thing was everything's good in moderation and it's all situational and you can't just isolate and say, you know, brats and hot dogs are bad and chicken's good. But especially like you just think about like chicken breasts, a grilled chicken breast, obviously little to no fat, a lot of protein, very filling, could be a great option after a long day of, you know, working out or being on the beach or whatever it is. It may be just slightly more fulfilling or just lighter on your body.
All right. I think I might know your answer to the last one then. Potato salad or grilled veggies and watermelon?
Yeah. So, I mean, if we put it all together, do you want brats and hot dogs and potato salad? Answer yes. Like, that's my answer. Yes. But maybe a slightly more fulfilling and nutritious option is chicken with grilled veggies and watermelon. Just a nice holistic meal. You get your fruit, you get your veggie. You get your protein. Maybe you feel a little more generally fulfilled at the end of your meal.
I'm team macaroni salad. And also I recently bought a huge watermelon and ate it every single day for a week. So I'm also team watermelon as well.
Okay. Macaroni salad, definitely underrated.
It's so good. I remember growing up, we would get like the giant tubs from the grocery store of potato salad, macaroni salad, and coleslaw. And then we just have grilled chicken every day with those sides.
Yep. Hard to go wrong. On that note, I think I said this the last podcast, which is hilarious, but I am hungry and I'm gonna go get some lunch. I'm actually grilling chicken for lunch, which is awesome that this is happening right now. But that's kind of our take on how to make the most of your summer, ins and outs. Don't ever throw anything completely out. It's great in moderation, but maybe there are better replacements or things that might help you feel better and do more, like our slogan. Thanks so much, and we'll catch you next time.